Let us turn to the Lord in prayer as we prepare our hearts for His Word. Father, thank you for this wonderful day when again we can come together and be reminded of your faithfulness and your goodness. Lord, we thank you for this great example of Enoch, a man of faith who walked with you and who trusted you and communed with you. And Father, we pray that as we turn the pages of your Word, that you'd again remind us of the importance of staying in fellowship and communing with you. Father, we thank you for these great examples of faith. And Lord, we just pray that you'd inspire us, inspire our faith. Lord, speak into our lives that we might grow our trust in you. We just thank for this day and we pray now that you would really bless us as we listen to your Word. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen. Amen. We're in our series, Real Faith in an Unreal World, and certainly we are living in unusual days, and certainly a time where we need to have a great faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure you are aware of the fact that your walk with the Lord certainly energizes your faith. There was a young man by the name of William Carey who was passionate for the lost. God was leading him to do something that no one in his country or his generation had ever done before. He felt called by God to reach India for Christ. In his day, the late 1700s, it was no small feat to reach a country considered dangerous, full of violence, and halfway around the globe. And certainly he had to go in a boat to get to this country. That could take months or even more. You would have thought that the pastors and the church of his day would encourage him, but in fact, that wasn't the case. If God wants to reach these unsaved savages, as said, he will do it himself. God doesn't need you. That was the message they had for him, but the more he prayed, the more he read scripture, the more he communed and walked with God, the more he became convinced that God was calling him to India. One major difference between William Carey, known today as the father of modern missions, and others was this. He'd spend time in prayer, he'd seek the face of God. He'd meditate on scriptures and talk to God, and God would speak faith into his heart. As William Carey read the scriptures, first there was a consideration about mission. Then there was a conviction that would arise in his heart on what God was calling him to do. Then a certainty of the unseen, a new desire for a God-given vision. And finally, there came a confidence in his heart. As William Carey walked with God, the Lord energized his faith. William Carey had a relationship, a walk with God. And from here arose a declaration that's been quoted over and over ever since. Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. I know of now the quote that perhaps summarizes faith quite like this one. As William Carey spoke of his coming mission that God had placed on his heart. In 1795, William Carey set sail for India, and the story has become legendary in the annals of world mission. Do you walk with God? That's the question I want to ask today at least. In our series, Real Faith in an Unreal World, Martin Luther, the great man of God, he said the following: faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace. So sure and certain, a man could stake his life 1,000 times on it. True faith, said Warren Wiersbe, is obeying God in spite of the feelings, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the consequences. In spite of the feelings of fear, no matter what the circumstances might be saying to us that we're facing, no matter the consequences of what might happen, when one has faith, one walks and obeys God. In the first two verses of chapter 11, of Hebrews, the chapter on faith, we see a description of faith. Just to recap what we said a few weeks ago, Hebrews 11 and verse 1 and 2 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." The author never gives us a definition of faith, but rather he describes and illustrates faith. It's almost like a diamond with many facets and angles, and we look at this great picture of faith. Yeah, we see the difference between counterfeit faith on the one hand and true faith on the other. Counterfeit faith is theoretical, whereas true faith is being sure. being certain certainly breeds determination and a glorious witness that gives substance to our hopes, as one translation says. Then we have a description of faith. Counterfeit faith is temporary, it doesn't last. Whereas true faith is all about what we hope for. We hope for Christ's return, our glorification in heaven, and even our reign with Him. Counterfeit faith is blind, it's like a jump in the dark, whereas true faith is about trust and certainty in the Lord. Counterfeit faith is based on the emotion of the moment, whereas true faith is based on understanding. I'll never forget when I was called to Namibia as the pastor of the church there, and just a small congregation. There were so many challenges, and yet I knew that as I walked with faith that God was speaking to my life, and I had the absolute certainty of what God was calling me to do. In verse 3, we see that faith makes a declaration. Hebrews 11 and verse 3 says, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." Yeah, when we speak of faith, it speaks about our trust in the Creator God. Last time we saw that the starting point, the basis, the foundation of our faith is worship. In verse 4, we saw the writer's first example of faith. We saw and we took a look at Abel's worship. We saw that Abel acknowledged he was a sinner in need of a savior, and he worshipped by bringing a blood sacrifice. And so the first step on the journey is faith worships. That's the starting point in our journey of faith. But what is the second step? Well, today we're going to have a look at that. What is absolutely essential when it comes to living a life of faith? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5 and 6, the second vital consideration of a life of faith that's absolutely essential, the walk of faith. You know, it's so true at this time of lockdown that we really need to walk with God. We need to draw close to Him. We need to communicate and commune with Him. Today we're looking at faith walks. We're going to take a look at the faith of Enoch. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5 and 6 says, "By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Enoch was a man who walked with God. Worship comes first in our journey of faith, but then we see that the next vital ingredient is our walk of faith in the Lord. When you look at Abel and Enoch, you see how the author compares them. Abel reveals authentic worship, whereas Enoch displays the personal walk. Abel submits to death, whereas Enoch triumphs in life. By faith, Abel, being dead, speaks. By faith, Enoch speaks as one who lives. In Abel, death leads to life. In Enoch, we see that there's life that never dies. In Abel, we see Christ crucified. In Enoch, we see Christ glorified. Worship and walk, two essentials in our walk of faith. Now, Enoch's an interesting man. He had a significant life. And if we turn back in Scripture to Genesis 5 and verse 18 to 24, we read the account of his life. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 18. "When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. After he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived a total of 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years, and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God, and then he was no more, because God took him away." Enoch had an incredible life, and one thing that really made his life even more significant is found in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. There it says, "Enoch walked with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. I like the Amplified Version. It says that Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God. This was his habit, his practice to walk and have a relationship, a close relationship with God. Hebrews 11 verse 5, the King James puts it like this. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. The word translated means that Enoch never experienced death. We know that that's what happened, because in every other case, if you read the book of Genesis, every life story concludes with these words: and then he died. Not so with Enoch. We don't have the how, but we certainly have the reason. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch had the smile of God in his life. Why was that? Well, because he walked with God, he communed with God. There's a story of a little girl who went home after hearing the story of Enoch at Sunday school. Mommy, she said, we heard a wonderful story about a man who lived in the Old Testament. The sensible mother let her daughter tell the story. His name was Enoch, and he used to go on long walks with God. That's wonderful, dear. How did it end? Oh, mother, one day he walked on and on and on and got so far that God said to Enoch, you're a long way from home. You'd better come in and stay with me. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The question we need to ask today is, what made for this amazing walk, this powerful walk with God? What was Enoch's secret? The first thing we see in his life story is that there was a point reached. At the age of 65, according to Genesis 5 and verse 22, when Methuselah was born, at this point, Enoch began his amazing and deep walk with God. There came a point in Enoch's life when he understood the nature of faith and had a desire to walk and commune with God. There was a time that Enoch didn't walk with God, like all of us. But something happened at the time of Methuselah's birth, and Enoch turned to God. Was it a sense of his need of God? Maybe a sense he needed to be a godly father in a world that was absolutely sinful and wicked, or maybe a sense his absolute need of God. The text tells us that Enoch walked with God intimately, with God for 300 years. That's 3 centuries, not 3 decades. For 3 centuries, Enoch walked with God. There was a point reached in his life, but then we see the second secret is that he had a practice revealed. Enoch was walking at the same place as God. He was in fellowship with God. And Amos asks in chapter 3 and verse 3, do two walk together unless they had agreed to do so? Certainly there was an amazing agreement, to use that word, between God and Enoch. Enoch also was walking on the same path as God. They were going to the same destination. We know in marriages we can't be on 2 different paths, because the marriage will tear apart. And the same thing's true in our spiritual lives. We need to walk with God. You can't walk together and go in 2 directions. You can't go to Pick and Pay and Checkers and be together as husband and wife. Enoch was headed in God's direction. He had the same mindset, the same passion, the same thinking. Enoch was walking at the same pace as God, on the same path as God. And also we see that Enoch was walking at the same pace. In other words, Enoch was in step with God, and we too, as the people of God, need to be in step with the Spirit. Paul puts it in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25 like this. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. As somebody put it, oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine along the road that leads me to the Lamb. A point was reached in his life, a practice revealed, and then we see the third big secret, a passion rewarded. Our walk with God can get deeper and deeper, and certainly this occurred between Enoch and God. There was a walk of growing intimacy with his Lord. You know, when you face a crisis, you see how deep your relationship really is with God. You either flee to man or you run to God. Certainly God doesn't give us all the answers, but as Martin Luther King put it, God only shows us the next step, not the whole staircase. A passion rewarded, well, we see that Enoch was convinced about God's presence. Hebrews 11:6, our reading says the following: "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists." Enoch certainly believed that God existed. Enoch believed that God could be found. Enoch believed in God's abiding presence. I so often go back to that wonderful passage, John chapter 15 and verse 5, where it says, and Jesus is speaking, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and on him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." God calls us to abide in him, to use that wonderful word that's in the King James Version. Oh, that we abide, that we walk with Jesus. Oh, that we seek his face, we search his word, we meditate upon its truth, we listen to the voice of God. In the very first psalm, the psalmist declares and speaks about this type of life: "He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Is God real to you? Do you sense his presence as you spend time with God? Enoch was convinced about God's presence. He was also committed to God's promises. Hebrews 11:6 again, and says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Enoch saw the promises of God, he sought the promises of God, and he certainly savored the promise of God. I'll never forget a good friend of mine. We were studying the book of Romans in our Bible study, and he had a crisis in his marriage. His wife left him, but you know, he clung on to the promises of God, and he really believed that God could intervene and change his family life, and God did exactly that. He brought back that relationship, it was healed, and today they have a great marriage together. What was the result of Enoch's walk with God? Well, we see that he remained righteous. Enoch had a powerful witness in an age of absolute evil. We sometimes look around in our own age and we're shocked by the corruption and the evil and the things going on around us. But Enoch's day was so evil that God concluded the only way forward was to destroy mankind in a deluge or a flood. If you think it's tough to live out your faith in our day and age, remember that Enoch stood against a tide of evil. It's striking that Enoch stood so high above the corruption of his day and lived as a righteous man. This is significant. He remained righteous. Enoch remained as a righteous man of God, but then we see that he also received a revelation from God. When he was 65, Methuselah was born. Now, it's interesting that Methuselah's name means "when he is dead, it shall be sent." Did God reveal himself and Enoch memorialized it in the name of his son? Did God reveal that he was going to send his judgment in a form of a flood and it would completely change his life? Methuselah's life was a life of grace before judgment. Now today, God, the Lord speaks primarily through his word, through prayer. He reveals his plans and purposes. And as we walk with him in faith, the Lord speaks into our lives and into our situations. And just as Enoch received revelation from God, so God also speaks to us through his word. Not only that, but we see that his life revealed the judgment of God. Scripture tells us that Enoch served as a prophet for over three centuries, preaching the unwelcome message of judgment. Jude 14 and 15 records the following: "Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts that they have done in an ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Well, we see that Enoch, in his life, the effect of this relationship, this walk he had with God, we see that he remained righteous. He received a revelation from God. In other words, God spoke to him, and also he revealed the judgment of God. His life spoke. As we conclude this morning, let's put all of this into some application. How do we put this all together? Well, the first thing we see is that the question we have to ask is have you grasped the nature of faith? Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Do you grasp the presence and nature and character of God? At the root of faith is your desire, your hunger for more of God in your life. Faith seeks for God. Faith believes that he is, that he exists. And faith keeps the heart open towards the Lord. It bows in humility and longs to see more of God. It's conscious of his presence and longs to walk with him. Do you have this hunger, this desire for God? Second, does your faith honor the Lord? Without faith, it is impossible to please God, but with faith, we are pleasing to the Lord. In fact, we were created to be a delight to God, and that's our destiny, to please the Lord. Faith honors God by seeking his presence, expecting everything from him alone, and resting in him alone. As a great man of God, Andrew Murray, put it, faith gives God his place and his glory. Faith wills what God wills. Faith lets God have his own way and makes him all in all. Finally, do you know that you're pleasing to the Lord? Enoch's witness was that he was pleasing to God. The very essence of a healthy faith is that God does not leave himself without a witness of one who completely trusts in him. By faith, Scripture says, Enoch walked with God. Do you have that witness? Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you that you are worthy to trust and to put your faith in. And Lord, this morning we come and we are so reminded of our need to walk with you, to commune with you. Lord, to know your voice and your presence in our lives. Know, God, we pray that at this time you will draw us closer to yourself. Oh Lord, how we need more of you in our lives. Father, our heart desire is to have a real sense of your presence in our lives. Lord, to know you and to know your will for our lives at this time. Friends, as we bowed, won't you reflect on this life of Enoch and the wonderful walk that he had with the Lord. Won't you ask God now to draw you closer to himself. Let's spend a few moments in quiet as we just reflect on our relationship with the Lord. Father, we just thank you that you are good, and Lord, that we can trust you completely and absolutely. Father, we thank you that you guide your people, and Lord, you invite us to a deeper walk with you. Lord, we ask now that each of us would know you and grow in our relationship and have a deeper relationship with you. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen.